You don't trade him. This is Allen Iverson in Philly. This is Dominique Wilkins in Atlanta. I'll even go Steve Nash in Phoenix, Chris Webber in Sacramento, Patrick Ewing in New York, Karl Malone and John Stockton in Utah. Did any of them win titles? No. Westbrook's, he's not going to lead them to a title. But he is a superstar. He keeps you relevant. He will sell out the arena as long as he's there. The fans love him because he's one superstar who's embraced Oklahoma City. They'll still be on national television. You got to keep it. This is a business, too.
In one of the smallest markets in the NBA.
That was a roll call right there from Chris Broussard. I'm at T&W Tire today here at 25 North Council. Sports Animal Special. Tipper set off all oil changes and fluid top-offs. 405-77-67-211. And make sure you mention the Sports Animal, and they will take care, great care of you. Royce Young joins us. Now, Royce, the Zach Lowe report, I don't know if he was just throwing up there something to be sensational, but there's just not a deal that I think Oklahoma City could work that would be good for them to trade Russell Westbrook, and I think for all of those reasons that he said, that's not even something that you discuss.
Right, and to kind of, put the context in with what I think Zach was saying, is it's important to note that, the Thunder are not at all. I mean, there's, zero consideration of trading Russell Westbrook at this present moment. This is just, I think, other people around the league, whether it be other league executives, assistant coaches, maybe some agents. Everybody around the league, Mark, I mean, they just gossip and talk amongst each other, just like anybody else does. They sit there and they say, what do you think this team should do? What do you think this team should do? And it should come as no surprise to anybody that other teams might sit there and say, hey, wouldn't it be nice if they traded Russell Westbrook? Because guess what? There's 20 other teams that would very much like it if Russell Westbrook was available on the open market. So, I know that there are concerns about, what does Russell Westbrook look like when you're paying him $44 million when he's 34 years old? There's so many teams that would just jump in a tub of cold water to trade for Russell Westbrook at this moment, because the rarest commodity in the NBA is not just superstars, but elite superstars. And Russell Westbrook is one of those guys for all the reasons Chris Broussard just mentioned. And I will say this, he left one player out of his list that I think is important to put in there, Dirk Nowitzki. That's a guy that stayed in Dallas, went through playoff disappointment after playoff disappointment, one of those coming in the final. And I know that Russell Westbrook and Dirk are, very contrasting players, but just because you think a guy can't win a title in a market doesn't mean that it'll never happen. When you have a quality front office, committed ownership, and, a star-level player, eventually the perfect storm can happen and it can all come together. So I think to sit there and say that Russell Westbrook cannot win a title in Oklahoma City, you must trade him, I think there's plenty of reasons to believe that that's not entirely true.
Remind me again that the Mavericks and Dirk won a title, please. Just one more time.
No!
You need to hear it daily, Dusty.
I need to hear it daily, because that seems like so far my rearview mirror. I don't even know.
It's one of the old-time achievements.
I don't even know. Okay, well, we agree. Listen, we talked about this yesterday as well, and we kind of put some context on it today. Mark wasn't here, but we're all in agreement. You're not moving Russell Westbrook. Let's go to last night's game, because you were on the Utah-Houston series. What a fourth quarter. What a night for Chris Paul. Listen, I'm not a Chris Paul huge fan. I had a chance to watch him in Oklahoma City. I think he's unbelievably talented, and I just thought that for a guy with all the scrutiny, I think valid scrutiny. I mean, 12 years, you don't make a conference championship, but for him to go out the way he did last night, that was awesome.
Yeah, and I'm of the mind, Dusty, and I know a lot of people said that one of the most ridiculous conversations there is in sports is criticizing Chris Paul for not going to the conference final. It, like you said, it's a valid thing. He hasn't been there. And it's, there are reasons why. And Chris Paul has been fantastic in the postseason. And with there is with so many players. You can apply this to the Thunder and some of the Thunder's postseason disappointments. You can go to other teams' disappointments. There's always a context and a larger perspective. And in some of those seasons, especially with the Clippers dealt with injuries. They ran into the wrong team. But, there's also the fact that Chris Paul blew a 3-1 lead to the Rockets. There's also that he melted down in Game 5 against the Thunder. So, I mean, there have been these obvious moments in Chris Paul's career that I think has made that criticism valid. But you're right. Last night with it on the line, Chris Paul showed up in a big-time way. And, again, there's some context there. I think the Rockets are winning this series. They're the better team, no question about it. But, the game obviously changed when Donovan Mitchell got hurt. And Chris Paul with the Rockets kind of, they were teetering there, Dusty. It got to a one-point game with 4.5 minutes to go, even with Mitchell on the bench. And you could see it. You could feel it in the arena that there was some tension, what's going on here? Are they going to really blow this one? And in past situations, Chris Paul has not executed well in those moments. Last night, completely different story. And you can tell with James Harden and, like, their relationship, you can tell James Harden is so often like, well, you just be aggressive. Well, you just go score. Because Chris Paul, when he clicks into that aggression, he is elite. Even with what he does and the way he controls the game, when he decides to score the basketball, he is really, really great at it, and he showed that off last night.
What weaknesses do the Warriors have? Are there any weakness on that team that Houston can exploit?
They are thin in guard depth, Mark, and that's where obviously the Rockets are strong is with perimeter players. And I think it's a flaw in the way that the Warriors have kind of built their team. Some of it is injury based. Patrick McCaw being hurt has hurt it, and really he hadn't played all that well this year. But him being hurt has limited them in some of the depth that they expected to have. But I mean, they're going to be relying on Quinn Cook for heavy minutes in this series, most likely. I shouldn't say heavy minutes, but some rotation minutes, just because of all the guards that the Rockets are going to play. Because the Warriors are overstocked with big guys. You know, a lot of their depth on the bench is with Kevon Looney, with Zaza Pachulia, JaVale McGee, David West. You go down the line, they've got a lot of bigs. But you know, the Rockets are not a team that are all that committed to throwing size out at you. So if I see something wrong with this Warriors team, and I think we're all kind of we're reaching here to find something wrong with these guys, but that would be it.
Okay, a lot of people, especially last night, I was listening, and not many people giving the Houston Rockets much of a chance. How much of a chance do you give them, Royce?
I give them a great chance. I think the Rockets are well equipped to win this series, and right now I haven't turned in my official pick to ESPN, but I'm leaning Warriors in seven, but I might flip that to Rockets in seven. I actually think the Rockets have a legitimate chance in the series. For one, I just think that the way that they stagger Chris Paul and James Harden and what the Rockets do and the way that they play in the postseason, I think is really, I think it translates really well into a playoff series. And, you know, people want to kill isolation basketball, but the Rockets do it more than anyone else, and they do it better than anyone else. And they generate great shots very consistently. And Clint Capella, I think, in some ways, was the MVP of that series against Utah. He was absolutely dominant protecting the rim. Obviously, the Warriors are going to be able to hit you with waves of offense, and they're going to be, you know, they're going to have these avalanches that they just throw at you. And that's going to be tough for Houston to withstand. But, you know, the Rockets, Dusty, they built this team specifically. Daryl Morey has not been shy about it. They have acquired players to try to match up with the Warriors. And they've got some toughness with Luka Mbamute, who was getting healthier. He played a really, really solid game five, looked a lot healthier. P.J. Tucker is a guy that's defended Kevin Durant pretty well throughout his career. So they've got tough bulldogs on that side with Trevor Ariza, Tucker, Mbamute. I think that they can guard Golden State about as well as anybody else has a chance to.
See, I think that's what tells it to me is you hear all these things and it's like, okay, P.J. Tucker's going to guard Kevin Durant. No, he's not. No, he's not. I'm not going to do that four times and win in this series. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm just so impressed with the Warriors because I don't think that they have many weaknesses and stuff that they can't overcome. And when we get some perspective on this team and history, I mean, they're easy to dislike. Draymond Green is about to say something I'm getting myself in trouble over. But one of the all-time scorers in the game. They'll go down in history as maybe one of the best scorers ever, top two or three. And this is clearly the best shooting backcourt of all time. Draymond Green can do everything. Andre Iguodala is very underrated because he's selfish, selfless. He does things that people need to do. He doesn't have to score when he's out there. So yeah. I think that, yeah, there is some depth problem right there, but this is the playoffs, and this is the finals of the conference. So I don't think depth is going to become too much of a concern.
Yeah, And Steph played 37 minutes last night, Mark. So, I mean, I think any idea that Steph is limited, he played 37 minutes last night. So, I think he's fine.
Oh, he's fine. He was. They were knocking down shots with regularity. So, I mean, what were your thoughts on what Draymond had to say last night after the game? I'm sure if you get a chance to hear him, we're going to play him real quick for you. Here's Draymond Green after the game talking about Houston.
Man, we won two championships in 3 years. We're not about to run off talking about how bad we want to play somebody. Like, we want to win another championship. And it don't matter who's in the way of that. If you're in the way of that, then you happen to be in the way. But, you know, we're not about to run around like, yeah, we want to play them in the conference finals. For what? Like, it don't matter to us who we play. However, we got them. All right, now let's get it. We get to it now. But it makes no sense for us to run around, we want them as bad as they want us. For what? That honestly don't make much sense to me.
It seems like Draymond and the Warriors focused on winning a championship, not just beating the Rockets. We've heard Daryl Morey self-admittedly say that they're basically obsessed with trying to deal with the Rockets. I mean, do you find that as a negative for Houston, that that's kind of their mindset, whereas Golden State, they're obviously looking far past the Houston Rockets?
I don't think it's a negative for Houston, Dusty, because, I mean, this is the roadblock. Especially once Kevin Durant decided to join the Warriors, this was the roadblock set up for the entire NBA for the foreseeable future. So, you know, you need to build a roster that is capable of withstanding an 82-game schedule and getting through some of the other teams in the West. But eventually you knew that your road was going to cross paths with the Golden State Warriors. I think Daryl Morey, when he talked about that obsession, he said that, like, they ran their numbers and every metric that they had said it was a 90% likelihood that if you're going to win a title, you're going to have to beat the Warriors at some point. So they understand that. And to me, I think that that's the right perspective for the Rockets to take for exactly what Draymond said last night. Is this is the defending champs. This is the team to beat. And while I'm with you, Mark, I don't care for Draymond Green whatsoever. I actually really like his attitude there because, like, if you're sitting in the Warriors' position, it's like, yeah, bring it on, Rockets. You know, like, you ain't beat us in the last few years. We're the defending champs. We're the team that won 73 games. We're the ones that everybody's trying to topple. So, like, we're not really scared of anybody. So we'll play you next. You know, I don't think the Warriors should have ever had the mindset to say, like, oh, man, those Rockets are really talking a lot of smack. We can't wait to knock them off and humble them. They may be having that conversation a little bit more internally, but that's definitely not something that they should say publicly.
You think Philly can extend tonight?
I think they can. I think that series is – look, I'm not saying Philly's going to come back in it, Mark, but, you know, I think the 76ers – I hate to say this because it sounds ridiculous, but I do think that they are the better team overall. And that when you look at the way games 1 and 2 went, and Philly can just kick themselves for not winning one of those two, and then game 3, obviously Philly had that one won, but, like, Philly's held big leads in the series. They've outplayed the Celtics in stretches. They have just melted down, and they are self-inflicted wounds. And so I think that is a, you know, an illustration of a young, inexperienced team, but so are the Celtics. I mean, the Celtics are equally as young in so many different ways as the Sixers are. So this is a big moment for Boston to try to close it out on their home floor, because if you go back to Philly, things are going to start getting tense in that series. So I think the Sixers have an actual chance, because I believe in their talent. I think that they're a really good team.
Nobody's getting past LeBron and the Cavs, though. I hate to say it.
I don't think that
either one of these two teams. That'll be tough. I'll say this: I give Houston a better chance of beating Golden State for sure than I do of either Boston or Philly beating Cleveland.
Yeah, who do you give a better chance in beating Golden State, Houston or LeBron?
Houston. I think the NBA
but
finals.
It's not as much as most people think.
The Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as much. LeBron's
on another level right now. So, I mean,
he just doesn't have the help. I just think Houston's such a good team. Like, I really have a lot of respect for so many people who are critical. How can you have two ball dominant guards, and how can you put this together? Not only have they put it together, they thrived. And the other pieces that they have around these guys, to bring Eric Gordon off the bench, to add a P.J. Tucker, have a Trevor Ariza, Clint Capella just continues to get better. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to overstate it, but a 65-win team. And
it's no joke.
I mean, they're legit.
Daryl Morey ought to take a victory lap today. He ought to be running around and patting himself on the back, Dusty, because so many people, like you said, myself included, we were all a little bit skeptical of, like, okay, you know, James Harden – people talk about Russell Westbrook's usage last year. Look at James Harden. James Harden had the ball in his hands all the time last season. And so it was a legitimate question, but I kind of always believed in it because Harden and CP3 are two highly intelligent players. But I think one of the critical things that has worked in the favor of the Rockets is how elite Chris Paul is in the mid-range. And if you go back, and I'm sure the missile would tell you this in great misery, if you go back and watch that Spurs series from last year, the Rockets were so inept at mid-range jumpers, mainly because they just refused to take them. And the Spurs exploited them for that. The Spurs were like, if you're not going to shoot there, then that's where we're going to force you to, and we're going to confuse the heck out of you. And James Harden, especially in Game 6, had no idea what to do. And you go get Chris Paul, Rudy Gobert and the Jazz try to deploy the same type of defensive scheme. Chris Paul just eats them alive because he's one of the best of all time to do it. So when people talk about system and what you want to accomplish, you got to have guys in the postseason that can just score buckets. And Chris Paul is one of those guys, and he gets them from mid-range. He can make tough jumpers. because that's what you got to have, because eventually a team's going to scout you. They're going to know what you want to do. And Chris Paul was able to just out-scheme the Jazz on his own.
Royce, thanks, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again on Friday.
All right. See y'all.